Cool. So we have just seen how we can use the Microsoft Graph and Microsoft 365 to build a simple app that helps us to stay in touch with everything that's going on around us. And we have shown a list of our colleagues, their pictures, their job titles. We also have shown our events in calendar. But there are also so many more insights that are available in Microsoft 365 and that we can also show through the Microsoft Graph. So first things first, Bob. We show a lot of stuff on the screen. Is there maybe
True.
a way for us to filter it? Because like imagine that like it's a lot of meetings, but I want to reach out to let's say Adele. Shall I do it directly, or maybe I have an upcoming meeting with her anyway that I could use then, right? So is there an easy way for me like for us to be able to only show info about a person?
Yeah, that's a great idea. So I think we need to add a little simple navigation to the app to make that happen. So let's go in and add a little bit of code. So here we're adding just a couple of little navigation methods to get select a user when they click, when somebody clicks it, and then to get back that user ID when we render. So the result then is it's almost the same, right? Except for when we click on something, it actually goes in and filters the calendar, as well as as we add more things to the screen, we can filter those as well. Notice that it's putting the user ID up here, right? Which is
Why?
just a little single page app. We're trying to keep it simple here. We're not using any fancy frameworks or anything like that. So I guess what's interesting really is, especially here, is filtering the events so that we're only going to see things where Adele, in this case, is in the meeting with Megan, who is the user I'm logged in as. So if you come in here and look at the events code, you'll see that this is the calendar view that you talked about earlier with Rabia. And now here we're just saying if a user is selected, then we're going to go ahead and filter down those meetings. And I mean, if the graph could filter on meeting attendees, it can filter on a lot, but not 100%, right? So if it could filter on meeting attendees, it would be better to do that on the server side or up in the cloud. But in this case, it can't. So I'm just going to do the filter here in JavaScript. And I think for the case of meetings, that's probably fine because there's not a huge number of them.
Yeah, and also I guess another thing is, right, that if we shown all meetings initially, we have them already. So imagine that at some point we would add cache to our app, then we have the data, everything that we need to show already locally, and then we can just filter that collection, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think we can probably optimize this app by caching some of the data. Again, it's probably not, we don't want to confuse the audience with it right now because it's not graph specifically, but it's still something that we could add at some point. And so that's a really good point.
All right, so now I can more easily see events that I have around a person, and we can still see our colleagues. So one thing that would be also nice to have in the same place, I would find really cool to have my unread emails in here, so that I can more easily see like what is on my plate, and is there something that I need to act on again around these folks, or just in like coming days. Is there a way for us to also show my unread emails in here?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's just another piece of the graph. And I'm going to go back to Graph Explorer here because I really think that this is where I always start, is to see kind of what calls can I do and kind of map my path between the nodes, like you were saying, right? So it looks like my mail is right here. So that's it. It's really easy to get the mail.
Right.
I think that the tricky thing is, first of all, I'm going to want to filter this. I probably only want to see unread mail
Yeah, exactly.
because, like, if I've already read it, why do I need this app to see it again, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So it turns out that the Microsoft Graph uses a standard called OData, which is it's a way of handling tables of data or collections of data, create, read, update, and delete. So it's really great that they kind of stuck with a standard instead of inventing that different for everything, right? So the OData spec says that the way to filter is to put dollar filter on the end, And here, if I was to look into the data, I would see is red right here is true. So I only want to see where is red is false.
Right.
So now I can run this, cool. and you'll see that it's actually going to filter out and only show me the ones where is red is false.
Nice.
Now, nice. So now let's go back over to the app, and I'm going to flip it again. We're using these branches because we really don't want to
type.
Have people typing. Yeah, it's always, nobody likes to watch me type. So there's the emails, right? It's coming in. The next thing I think that we probably want to do, right, though, is what do you want to have happen if I click on Adele, for instance?
Yeah, exactly. Like, just show emails from her,
Adele.
Right? So that I can, like, if I have, for example, a meeting upcoming, I can also see, like, hey, maybe she reached out to me about something. Maybe there's something that we need to still think about. So it would be good to have the same filter in place for emails.
Yeah, I agree. And so you can see it's working here in the code. But before I show the code, let me just show the rest of the filter. So if we kind of go down here in the data, you'll see that I've got a from and I've got a sender, right? So here's sender, email address, address. So you can actually navigate down into that structure in your filter. So let me add to the filter here. So I'm going to put and, first of all.
Right.
And sender / email address / address equals Adele. And now I will get back only the emails from Adele. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's how this code is working. And I really like the way the code is kind of laid out, because what it's doing is it's saying, okay, me / messages, right? Next thing it's doing, it's a little bit fancier. It's doing select. This would turn into $select in OData. But this is just a nicer format for JavaScript, right? It's only going to get the data that we need to show. And then we're only going to get the top five. So you can page through data in almost every graph call by doing .top or $top in the rest call, and $skip to skip down to the next page. So we only want really the first five, because if it's anything like my inbox, it's going to fill like the entire screen.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's going to say, well, is red is false. And then if I'm filtering because I've selected some user ID, then what I'm going to do is add this and clause here to the filter. And again, then we get this nice result that now it filters based on, you know, whoever. I didn't get any emails from Christine. I get this one from Isaiah. I get this one, these ones from Adele, etc. And
cool.
One thing that's kind of nice about this filtering, some of these people don't send me a lot of email. One thing that's kind of nice about this filtering is with the dot top, if we did the filtering in our JavaScript, we would only see the top five minus ones that were from other senders. We might not see any emails at all. Unless one of these mails happened to fall in the top five. By having Graph do the filtering, we're actually taking the top five after the filter was applied.
Yeah. And that was also a cool thing in your code, where you split the call to Graph basically in two around filter. And the one thing that I see there is that if we have selected user ID, we need to get their emails to match sender, right? So we only load users' email if there is one, so we don't do it always, right? So there is no, so we basically optimize this, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. You can, just as you can chain the functions, like .top could call .filter, .get, you can also just store in a variable your query and then keep building it up in your code. And then as long at the end you put the get or the post or whatever the HTTP verb is, you can structure your code however you want. So I really like that too.
Cool. All right. So now we have my calendar, my events, my emails. Now, I don't know about you, but one thing that I struggle with all the time is my files. Like getting back to my files, or trying to find, like, hey, in our team, what are the files that we work currently on, so that we can really easily get back to them? Is there something in Graph that could allow us to simplify that, perhaps?
There is, and it's actually, let me show the code first, actually. There is, and it's called Insights. So this is one of the cool things about the graph. You've got this layer in the middle of the architecture where all the calls are coming through, right? This has a number of architectural advantages. I mean, a good one is just that our program here doesn't have to talk to five different services, authenticate five times, do five DNS lookups. Everything is all going through this one common endpoint. So that actually makes our performance and our code much faster. But another advantage is that once that layer is in the middle, it can actually start to look across the different work that people are doing. So have you ever noticed that, like, it probably before you went to Microsoft 365, if you're not an M365 user, you wouldn't notice. You work on a file and then you go to send it to somebody, and then you have to go find the file again to attach it to the message. It's so annoying, right?
Every time, right? And then you need to know time. The hierarchy of folders, where'd you put it, and if it's the final of the final V2.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's part of the problem of application switching, right? Like we're always trying to avoid people switching apps. It's not just the switching. It's the fact that you have to navigate the information again every time. So that's a real pain in the neck. So the graph is sitting there watching all these requests. And if you've noticed lately, you go to send a message and the file that you just finished editing is the first one that it suggests when you attach it. I love that. It saves me so much time. Yeah. And so the way that works is it's using this insights part of the graph where every time you make a call, it's actually sending signals into the graph that learn about what is important to you and what you're working on. So that even if you're in one program like Microsoft Word, and then later you go to another program like Microsoft Teams to access a file, the graph is a common place in between that is going to remember, oh yeah, but he just edited that file in Word 3 seconds ago. Probably that's the file he's going to want to share, right? So we're using that here, Insights Trending. We're going to get the trending files, which is, there's other ones. There's like a recently modified and other trending aspects. But this one, or other insight aspects, but trending is a little bit fuzzier. It's kind of like what's relevant to me. So it's going to take all my usage into account. So if I just edited a file once recently, but edited another file 100 times, it's probably going to rank that 100 times more. Because it knows the overall traffic. So it's going to actually come in here and grab the trending files and filter them down to only the drive items, because there are other things I might find. Like I might find a trending SharePoint site or some other piece of information. I only want the files. Mm-hmm. And then actually the thing is that Insights doesn't actually provide complete information about the file. So what I really want to do is get all of the information about that file, and that's going to require another call. The nice thing is that the Insights API provides me with that exact call. So all I have to do is look at resource-reference.id, and I actually get the drive, the path all the way to the file, wherever it is, and I can just do a GET request with that. Now, what you'll notice is because I started with one call trending, now I'm getting five responses back. Mm-hmm. I really didn't want to go and one at a time ask, give me the data about the first file, give me the data about the second file, give me the data about the third file, right? It would be much better to do one call to graph and get it all back. So this shows off another cool feature in graph. It's also part of the SDK. So we're going to actually batch these and put these all into one HTTP request. And so what this is doing here is building up an array of batch requests and then sending the whole thing off in a post. So here's an example of a post instead of a GET, right? And then what comes back, there's going to be a matching response. So instead of getting back one HTTP response, well, I am going to get one HTTP response, but instead of getting one of my operations back, I'm going to get an array, again, that I can just go and correlate my requests to the responses. And so the result is...
Exactly. Let's see it in action.
Yeah, there we go. So now I can see all of my files, right? One of the nice things, by the way, about storing the files in in Microsoft 365, right? If I click on this file, it opens. Now, you know, that may not seem like a big deal, but it's actually a pretty big deal because I've got all, I've got Microsoft, you know, Excel and Word and PowerPoint and all those programs that people use frequently are built right into the system. So I don't have to go and implement that or try to make a bridge between my app and these online tools. The user already is using them. They're already there. Just use them. So one other thing I wanted to quickly point out is what happens if I filter the trending, if I actually click on, say, Adele, I'm actually going to see the files that are trending for Adele. So this really gives me an insight into what she's working on because I might have certain meetings with her. It might be some tiny little part of her job. Here, I'm going to see all of the files that she's working on. I can see here that she's working on a buyer brochure or at least interested in this buyer brochure or this product roadmap. Now, it might seem a little bit scary to do that, but the graph is enforcing security. So if one of, if her most trending file was, you know, a confidential document or something, I don't have access, it will automatically be removed from the list. So, and again, there's no change in the code. All it's doing is just taking, instead of starting with /me/insights/trending, it's taking /users, the user ID, /insights/trending, and now I can get back the trending documents for all these different users and see kind of what they're working on.
All right. All right. So we have seen, like, going all the way from person, filter, filtering events so that we can more easily see what events we have with others in our team. We have seen how we can show my unread emails. We have seen trending files. I guess, so it is a lot already, right? So for now, we'll wrap it up. But in the next segment, we will finalize the app, add a few more things, and also show you some other application scenarios to use the Microsoft Graph. See ya.